Border Art Residency artist Bella Maria Varela will debut a new exhibition today titled La Cingadera Volume 3. The show will be on display at the Border Art Residency headquarters at 801 North Piedras in Five Points. This show is an immersive exhibition which combines textile and video work by Bella Maria Varela with papier-mâché masks by Cingaderas Manuel Urueta and Selena Galicia. My guest today is Bella Maria Varela. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is the first time that you and I get to connect. I mean, we've seen each other out and about, and we're always like, oh yeah, we need to record a show. We need to do this. Finally, we have our opportunity, and it's right as you're going to do the Cingadera show. Will you tell us, is it volume three because you've done two before? Or
we did two before. We had volume one was at Heaven's Portal downtown next to El Paso Street, and then we did one at Galleria Lincoln. That was volume two. And so this is the third one. So we've been practicing.
All right.
This one's our last, well, not our last one, but this is volume three. So it's been a lot of work. So I'm kind of excited for Saturday to come. So and show everyone everything we've been working on.
So today is Saturday. And I know that you are breaking down the day in two little chunks. And I do think it's important to kind of delineate that for folks, right? Because there is some adult content happening later. So you have like your quote unquote kid hours from 5 to 8 p.m. What happens during that time?
So for the kid hours, I'm inviting a bunch of the kids that I work with. So me and Manu are teaching or doing like an art workshop at the schools in the Northeast, like fourth and fifth graders. And then we also work with, or I work with some of the kids at Taze North in Chemisal. So I'm inviting like all the kids that we're working with. But we wanted to give them like a safe space for them to play with the green screen and with the masks and dress up and like have fun in the space without having to be interrupted by adults. Really important for them to have their safe space.
Yes.
And then on the other end, I want the adults to also have their like fun space. And some of my videos have like some like PG-13 rated content, maybe X-rated content. I want the adults to kind of enjoy too. So that's why I separated it, because like both groups need to have their safe spaces. Mm-hmm. So that's super important to me.
And I saw that the adult hours from 8 to 11, really it's the video Burro Fante. What's up with that? What can you tell us without giving it all away?
Burro Fante, me and Manu made, we've been making like hybrid masks. Hybrid masks that also touch on like, or do some sort of political commentary. So we made like a burro that's mixed with like a reptile snake kind of thing. And then we also made an elephant that's also like a hybrid animal. So we're kind of touching on like the two polarized political parties and how they've kind of impacted my current life in the Southwest. And then also Manu growing up here as well. So we like to get into some political content as well. So, but in a satirical in like dramatic kind of way.
Yeah, make people think, but have fun doing it.
Yes, that is, I feel like me and Manu's thing. It's like, we want people to have fun and be entertained and laugh. But then at the same time, have that moment of like, oh, interesting. I'm not sure if that was supposed to be funny or if that was super serious. I feel like a lot of life is that, especially with politics, especially in the last like 2 years, just watching the news and everything that's been going down. And also the elections as well. We talk about the two political parties like they're so opposites, but they're actually, I think, pretty similar in a lot of ways. So that's kind of what our video is touching on, but all still based like in the border, in El Paso and Juarez. A lot of my work is site-based, so I'm really thinking about the spaces that I'm in and reacting to them. So Manu and all my other friends that I've made here have been like my guide through this space. And so this video is just a reaction of everything that I've been kind of picking up on in the last 6-7 months. I've been starting to lose track at this point. I think I moved here June 7th. So yeah, it's just a compilation of my experiences so far.
So did you have a connection to El Paso before becoming the Border Art resident?
No, nothing other than my like one of the professors I'm super close to, David Taylor. I was at the University of Arizona in Tucson before. And so he lived here for a while. Oh, and then my best friend had moved here like a year before me. And she moved here with her husband and baby. So I did have some family, but it all happened very randomly. So it was a completely new place to me when I moved here over the summer. But I really love it, and I'm definitely going to stay.
I love it. Well, then how did you find Manu and all your friends? Because like it seems like you guys have known each other for a really long time, but if you're saying you didn't have a connection.
He's my weird brother. So my professor, David Taylor, the first day I moved here, he introduced me to another artist, photographer, Ingrid Leiva.
Yes, we love her.
Yeah, because they had known each other through like the photo world. And he's like, I have this person that I want you to meet. And then we met the first day I was here, and then she introduced me to all the other people she was working with, including Selena, and Selena's Manu's partner. And so we just all started hanging out, and then me and Manu just had a very good connection from the beginning. And I was like, I think we need to make work together, because we talked about like performance and theater and politics and all these things that we both really enjoy doing, but with a humorous twist. So I was like, I think we need to work together. So we started collaborating, and he started teaching me how to make masks. So he's basically like also my teacher right now. So I've been having a lot of fun learning from him and collaborating with him. So it's been great.
I mean, it sounds like you've maximized this for being here in the pandemic. Like you found your world and you're just doing it.
I really thank my professor, David, because before I moved here, he was like, here's a list of people that you need to meet with. And I was like, oh gosh, I was like, there's a lot of people I have to make friends with. I would say I'm social, but someone has to really force me. And that first introduction to Ingrid, I feel like opened up so many doors for me. So I feel like this is already home already. So I'm good here.
You're in.
I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of years, but I really enjoy El Paso, and there's a really soft place in my heart for it already.
Well, good. That means we love you back, you know, because if you feel it like that immediately, you know, and you're in the right place, then that means the feeling's mutual. That's got to feel really good.
Yeah, no, it does. On top of everyone being absolutely the best people, I feel like it's also a really important city. So, you know, in terms of immigration, especially because I'm from DC, like people have the conversation about immigration in DC, like it's very distant. But then when you come here, you're like, this is where this whole conversation is centered around. I kind of feel like we're at the center of the world here. And so I feel like it's super important. And then the kids that I've been working with, I'm like, you guys have the most important and valid experiences and perspectives to give. And sometimes I feel like those perspectives are not always listened to or appreciated, but I feel like the kids in Enchami said are like, their perspective and their stories, I think, are the most important. So I feel very lucky to have been working with them for the last couple of months. So
What kind of work are you doing with them?
honestly, it changes every day or every class that we have. Sometimes we're doing green screening. Sometimes we're doing like random music stuff and they bring in their cello. Sometimes we're doing dress up. Sometimes we're doing piñata. Sometimes we're doing coloring and drawing. It literally, like, we talk every week with the team that I'm working with TLC, Transformative Learning Communities. And so we kind of just talk about, you know, where the kids are at that moment and like what we think they should do for the next week. But we don't really pre-plan anything too much because it doesn't work like that. It's like also a pilot program. So it's really hard to kind of predict, you know, how many kids are going to come in, what ages they're going to be. So it's really been shifting and changing. And so we've just been kind of adapting with the kids as we go. And when we plan, we've planned an event every month. And so a lot of the weekly programming that we're doing is also, you know, we ask them what they want to do and like what we can do to kind of make the events happen. But yeah, just a little bit of everything. I'm a very interdisciplinary artist, and I want them to, my goal is to teach them what it means to be an interdisciplinary artist. It doesn't have to just be, you know, just drawing or painting or just photography. Like you can combine 100 things to make your own art practice, and that it's super accessible, easy, that they're being resourceful, that they're using their own experiences and stories to make their art. That to me is important, but we're still working on it. I feel like to get to that point is going to take a little bit longer to really pull it all together. So it's an ongoing patient process that we're doing right now.
So when did you realize that interdisciplinary art was your calling, is what you were going to do?
So for undergrad, I went to Miami University in Ohio, and I knew I really wanted to do art, but I had no experience with like visual art. I had just, my background was in like modern and ballet dance. So I'd never really done visual stuff. But when I went there, I was like self into like photography classes because that seemed that to me, I always had liked it, but I wasn't sure what to do, like how to do that. So I got my minor in photography in undergrad. And then after that, I was like, okay, I want to actually study this. So when I went to grad school, I went in the photo, video, and imaging department at the University of Arizona. But then there, they're like, you can do whatever you want. So I think a lot of it was taking a school that was like super interdisciplinary and open to us doing whatever we wanted, and really experimenting. And so, but my root is still in photography and video. Like I always go back to that every single time, even when I'm doing the masks or the textile installations, everything has like a really strong root and perspective in photography. So I think a lot of it was just being in an environment that didn't restrict me at all, that they just were like, do whatever you want.
And sometimes that's even harder when you can do whatever you want. It's like, okay, do I really want to do this? Or like, there's so many choices.
Exactly. And I feel like I always am taking risks. This is what my professor said. They're like, you're always just doing some crazy stuff. And I call it controlled chaos. So like I want to do a bunch of things, but there's still a part of me, my Virgo side, that really pulls it together. So I do like the chaos and all the options and the craziness, but I feel like I'm also really good at like picking an idea and like really focusing on it. Like when I said I'm gonna do the papier-mâché masks, I feel like people are like, really? Like that's so random. Like what? But like I've been like hardcore focusing on that for like last like couple months. But the thing is, what I've learned is that like you learn every skill like a little bit by little bit. Even with sewing, I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn how to sew, and I thought I was gonna be able to do that in grad school.
Oh, it's so hard.
No, all I learned how to do was sew edges and maybe sew straight lines in the last like 3 years that I've been trying to do it. And then with the papier-mâché mask, I'm just getting to a point where I'm building the structure. So like understanding that interdisciplinary doesn't mean you're going to be an expert in everything. It just means that you're going to learn how to do like a tiny bit of everything slowly. So I probably won't learn how to actually sew for another like 5 or 10 years. And like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're a work in progress.
It's a constant work in progress. And I feel like that's been the hardest thing about interdisciplinary art is that you're never gonna, or for me, it's just accepting that I'm never gonna be perfect or amazing at any of them. And that's okay.
I love it. We're going to leave it on that point. You don't have to be perfect at everything, and it's okay. Today, my guest has been Bella Maria Varela. We're all invited to her show tonight, La Cingada, Volume 3, Kid Hours from 5 to 8 p.m. You can play in front of a green screen, try on some masks. Adult hours are from 8 to 11 p.m., where you will watch some more scintillating content.
Yes, and there'll be beer and wine and snacks the entire time.
There you have it. Beya, so nice to talk to you. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.